What a great joy for my wife and I to be with you here this evening and for the next few days. We trust that these few days will be powerful days where you and I will experience a fresh download of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And someone says,
Amen. Amen.
Now the word camp. Do you know what's the acronym for the word camp? C-A-M-P. Well, it stands for Christ Always My Priority. All right? Christ Always My Priority. And I pray that in this camp that you will place Christ as the priority and allow Him to speak to you in a very special way. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Let us pray. Father, we are here in your presence. Our hearts are open, and Lord, you speak to us in your own special way. They will walk in your ways and hearken to your voice, dear Lord. Lord, we commit ourselves to you that from tonight and for the next few days, Lord, have your way in our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The theme of your camp is rooted. Rooted. It's a very important, a very powerful word. And tonight the title of my message is Root Remove. In order to be rooted, well, you also need to remove certain roots in your life. There was one time I counseled a 35-year-old woman. And she was sharing with me about an incident that took place in her life, how her father mistreated her. As she shared and talked about her story, she begins to cry. And she began to weep. And the more she talked, the more I'm hearing the deep pain and hurt inside of her. And even as she began to recall the event, to her, it was an event that may have happened 15 years ago, but it's still very fresh in her mind, very fresh in her. In other words, for the last 10 years, she has been carrying that hurt, that pain in her heart, even though it was a past event. But as I mentioned earlier, something is still so fresh within her. Well, this woman, in counseling terms, we say she's carrying an excess emotional baggage. Assess emotional baggage. As we walk through life, we do pick up things along the way. We pick up litter. We pick up money also. How many have experienced that? You pick up money as you walk. From time to time, I pick up money, but only 5 cents and 10 cents. So we pick up things, we pick up money, but we also pick up emotional baggage. We also pick up emotional baggage. Emotional baggage can come in the form of an anger, bitterness, guilt, fear, like fear of intimacy, regret, self-criticism, unforgiveness, and the list can just go on. The fact is that you and I can't live this life for very long without being wrong or wounded. Right? Whether we're young, we are old, in this journey called life along the way, we have been wrong or wounded by different ones. Perhaps it was a horrible child experience with a parent or a relative. Perhaps it was a nasty confrontation with someone. Or perhaps it was a failed marriage or a betrayal. Perhaps it was a rejection by someone whom you care and love. Or perhaps a good relationship turned bad or sour. You see, such experiences, when we don't handle them well, can have a hold on us. It can hurt us and even harm us. Especially when we begin to allow those negative emotions in us and allow those emotions to linger in us, to grow in us, and to take root in us. In other words, you begin to give those negative emotions PR status, permanent residency status in us. And that's where it can begin to harm us. When you go to the airports, there's always a counter that says excess baggage payment, right? When you carry excess baggage, you have to pay. There's a payment, there's a price. And that goes the same when we carry excess emotional baggage. There is a price we have to pay. Because every emotional baggage comes with a price tag. And therefore it can hurt us and harm us to a certain degree. Excess emotional baggage. Of course, the Bible also talks about such emotional baggage, but the Bible used a different word. What is that word? That word is root. Root. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, here the Bible says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." No bitter root. That excess emotional baggage in us. The word bitter means a sharp, pungent smell. Bitter, then it's not sweet. It is bitter. It is, the Bible used the word root. As you know, roots, you know, as you look at certain trees, you know, roots you cannot, you know, see on the surface at times. So that goes the same with this root in us. You cannot see it. It is there, but you cannot see it. Other people cannot see it. That's why some people, they may be smiling on the outside, but deep down, they are hurting. It is there and you cannot see it. It is there, but you can feel it. You can feel it inside of you. Whether it's anger or bitterness or hatred, you can feel it. And not only that, it is there and you can not hide it. Because the Bible says bitter root will bear bitter fruit. It will be expressed out from us in one way or another. It can be seen by others. And therefore, this bitter root, it is there and we must deal with it. I've seen too many people who has been wronged or wounded in this journey called life. But somehow they did not, you know, deal with that root, deal with that issue, deal with that emotional baggage, and somehow they carry that baggage throughout their lives. And then they are being affected greatly in one way or another. That's why it is important for us to deal with it. And the question is, how do people deal with such emotional baggage or such root in them? There are different ways. Some by striking back. Striking back, that means in anger, in revenge. They take things into their hands. They strike back. I remember the story of a woman. You know, during her life, the husband mistreated her, even abused her. And therefore, she harbored this strong hatred against her husband. And she wished one thing, that her husband will die. And guess what? Her wish came to pass. Her husband died. Her husband passed away. Let me ask you the question. Is she happy now that her husband has passed away? No. Because deep down in her, there's still the hatred. There's still the bitterness. So she was not happy. She went to see the medium. And she consulted the medium. And she asked the medium, tell me, what have my husband become? And the medium told her, your husband has become a cockroach. And every time she sees a cockroach, what comes to her mind? This must be my dead husband. And she'll take her slipper and hit the cockroach. Say ya. That shows the extent of the baggage that she's carrying. And even though her husband had passed away, yet she's still carrying that deep hatred, bitterness towards him by striking back. Some by sharing about it. I know some people, it's not a positive sharing, but every time they share, they talk about their pain and their hurt. They talk to person A, person B, person C. Every day they go for a counselor to counsel, and yet they still talk about their pain, and therefore the pain somehow will not go away. They keep sharing. And some by stuffing it. That means suppressing. Suppress it. Don't talk about it. Don't even think about it. Some day, by shunning it, that means they ignore it altogether. They just go through life, just ignore it, but somehow, you know, they feel it is still affecting them. By striking back, by sharing it, by stuffing it, by shunning it, and also some, they struggle with it like crazy. Because every day they're carrying the pain. Every day they're carrying that baggage. And by the way, some people, they carry more than one baggage. Can you try to walk carrying three or four baggage with you? It's quite burdensome. And some people carry more than one baggage. Of course, what is important is that we must surrender it to the Lord. We must come before the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this issue, this area of my life. As I mentioned earlier, as we walk through life, we pick up emotional baggage. And to all the young people here, let me say this to you, even at your age, you can also pick up certain emotional baggage. And it's important for you to realize that so that you begin to deal with it and not to allow it to take root in your life. That's why we have a choice to make. Either to live with it or gradually, by the grace of God, to live without it. So from this verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, let me highlight four important words. Four important words for us to take note. The first word is acknowledgement. In verse 15, bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Two things here. First, it troubles us. Second, it troubles others. The bitter root in us will not only affect us, will not only hurt us, but it will also hurt others, especially the people around us. First, troubles us. Because emotional baggage or such bitter root takes up space in our minds and in our hearts. It occupies a segment of our brain and a segment of our hearts. And that's what we have carried every day in our lives. And sometimes all you need is just a trigger point. And then the bitter fruit will manifest. So it affects us. It makes us to become pretty miserable at times. Because we are struggling with it. We know we are having this issue. And there's a constant warfare within us. And then it affects us to a great extent. That's sometimes, you know, emotional baggage. It can hinder us from moving forward in life. It impedes our growth as a person. It can also paralyze us and sometimes stop us from having healthy relationships. I can mention more of the outcomes of such, you know, roots that we have in our hearts. That's why it is so important for us to realize the root in us and come to the point of admitting and acknowledge that I have this issue. It troubles us. It troubles others. Because the fact is that hurt people hurt people. When you are hurting, somehow, you know, you're not consciously, you're not intentional, but somehow, you know, subconsciously, you begin to allow the roots to take control of you and you begin to say things, do things that hurt other people. Hurt people, hurt people. That's why it troubles us and it troubles others also. It's not just about us. It's also about others. There's this story about this young man. He had an anger issue. From time to time, he would say unpleasant things. And as a result, his words can be so sharp and, you know, others can be, you know, hurt by him, by what he said. And one day, his anger advised him and said to him, every time you get angry, I want you to do something. Go out to the back of your house. There's the fence there. Every time you get angry with someone, you say something nasty, I want you to nail one nail into that fence. That wooden fence. One nail. Nail it down. And then slowly the anger begin to help him to overcome this anger issue. And thankfully, he was, you know, open and he journeyed with the anger, and slowly but surely, he began to have a better anger management in his own life. And the anger then told him, every time you succeeded in managing your anger, then you go back to the friends and you remove one nail. Each time. And finally, this young man was so delighted because finally he was able to control his anger and he was able to remove every nail that's nailed into that fence. And then he told the anger, anger, come, look at the fence, there's no more nails. But then the anger told him, look at the fence. Look at those holes that the nails have created. Yes, thank God you have overcome, but somehow you have left scars in the hearts of many people. Yes, you have overcome, but you have left behind a lot of scars. We hurt ourselves. We also hurt other people. That's why the first word is the word acknowledgement. Sometimes it's not easy to acknowledge that we have this issue, that we have this baggage, this root in us. But I pray tonight, if you recognize there is an emotional baggage in you, it is lingering in you, it is affecting you, and you know it is in you, no matter how deep that root may be, tonight is the night that you say, God, I come before your presence and I ask you to help me to deal with this root, that I'm going to experience your grace and I'm going to overcome, that this root will be removed. Whether you are young or whether you are at certain, in a mature age, we all are vulnerable to such, you know, hurt in our lives. And therefore we come to deal with it. That's why the first word is the word acknowledgement. That you come before and say, God, here am I. I acknowledge and I need help. The second word is the word abandonment. Abandonment. Again, in verse 15, no bitter root grows up. No bitter root grows up. The outcome we want to see is that no bitter root. No bitter root. That the bitter root will be removed. Three words here. Face, fight, and forgive. You got to face the root in you. You got to face the emotional baggage in you. You got to face it. You don't shun it. You don't stuff it. But you face it. And then you got to fight it, because it is a warfare in itself. Because the devil, the enemy, wants you to continue to carry that baggage. He wants the root to continue to be rooted in you. That's why you can recognize it is a warfare in itself. And you got to fight it. And you got to fight it. That means you don't give up. You don't give in. You don't give up. But you ask the Lord to help you to face it and to fight it. And of course, for many of us, one of the fights we have to do is to forgive. A very important word. Sangeeta Rana, she said, when you choose to forgive someone for the pain they caused you, you silently have started the process of healing by that very act. This is very liberating. The more you forgive, the more you feel healed. As you know the scripture, so many times we are called to forgive. And you know forgiveness is so important. I always say this. Forgiveness is setting a prisoner free. And the prisoner is you. When you forgive, you are setting a prisoner free. And the prisoner is you. Yes, I know it is not easy to forgive. Especially the person who has betrayed you. The person who has hurt you so much. And maybe you are saying to me, Pastor Kelvin, you don't understand what I've gone through. It is easy to say to forgive, but I just can't forgive. It is very real, because as a pastor, I've journeyed with so many people who struggle with unforgiveness. Yes, it is not easy. And that's why it is not easy. We're going to even be more determined to do it. Because ultimately, able to do it, we are freeing ourselves up. That's why we're going to tell ourselves it is time to let go. To let go of the hurt, to let go of the pain, to let go of the hatred, to let go of the unforgiveness, to let go of the bitterness. It is time to let go. Not only that, it is time to put the past in the past. Because sometimes, if you're not careful, we are still living in the past. We are still reliving that event, that occasion that has took place 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago. It is still, we are still reliving it. No wonder the hurt still remains in us. Because we are still reliving that pain in us. No wonder the emotional baggage will not go away because we are still carrying it. In fact, to a certain extent, you know, soothing it. And no wonder it's growing inside of us. Because we have allowed the roots to continue to take roots in us. That's why we tell ourselves the past is the past. I cannot change the past, no matter what. That's why Kay York, she said, the important thing to remember about healing the wounds is that you are not choosing to forget what happened. You are choosing to allow it to hold you. You're not allowing it to hold you and to control your life. You can never forget. Let's face it. But you can begin to release that baggage from controlling you as you forgive, as you release, as you let go. We're going to tell ourselves we cannot do anything about our past, but we can do something about our future. That's why Dave Willis, he said, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. It sets you free. There was one day I received a phone call from someone. He said, "Kelvin, I just want to ask for your forgiveness." I said, "What? What forgiveness?" He said, "Remember, in our relationship, something happened 15 years ago. I could not even remember, but he remembered. Because he has been carrying it for the last 15 years. He said, the Lord just convicted me and I need to let go. I need to call you and ask for your forgiveness. And I say, I deeply appreciate your call. But for me, I could not remember. I moved on. But I'm glad you are able to allow the Holy Spirit and you responded positively to what God is saying to you. And ultimately, he himself received, you know, that touch from the Lord. And that for 15 years, he was holding. I don't know about you tonight. If there's something that's still holding on, something that someone said to you, or someone did something to you, not only you could not forget it, but somehow inside you know that is that root. You know there is the emotional baggage. Then it is time for us to let go, not to hold on anymore. Because the more you hold on, the more you are hurting yourself. And that's what the devil wants you to do. But God is saying to you tonight, it's time to let go. It's time to abandon that root, that emotional baggage. That's why this is the second word, abandonment. Then the third word is the word appropriation. Again in verse 15, no one falls short of the grace of God. No one falls short of the grace of God. We are always thankful for the grace of God. God's grace is always sufficient for us. His grace is always sufficient for you, no matter what you've gone through. God's grace is always there for you to receive and to experience. Someone says, amen. Amen. That's why each time we look at the cross, we are reminded what Christ has done for us. He did that for us so that we can be set free from the power of whatever, so that we can be set free because of the cross. Christ has done that for you and for me. And therefore we must, you know, appropriate the grace of God into our hearts, into our lives. Yes, we cannot do it in our own human strength. That's where the grace of God comes in. Two words here. Posture and power. Posture and power. Posture. A posture where you are reminded of what Christ has done for you. A posture to be thankful of the grace of God upon your life. Yes, something, you know, bad has happened to your life, you know, sometime back. But you got to know by the grace of God, God can turn that something bad into something good for His glory and for His kingdom. And God has a new song for you to sing. Not the same sad song anymore, but a new song to sing. God has a new dream for you to dream. That's the grace of God. Because in God is always, you know, something wonderful can take place, something powerful can take place in our lives. God can then turn something back into something good for His glory and for His kingdom. That is the grace of God. And let me say this to you, God has the final say in your life. Not that roach, not that past event, not the emotional baggage, because God is still writing the story of your life. Your life is not the end yet. God has a new chapter for you in your life. And that is the grace of God. That's why we need to appropriate the grace of God. And also to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us, in our lives. The fact is this. You cannot overcome that root or remove that root by your own human strength. Because when it's rooted, it's not easy to take it up again. It's not easy to deal with the emotional baggage inside of you. Especially inside of you for some years already. It is not easy. Not in your own human strength. That's why, you know, habits, it's not easy to overcome. But you have certain habits in your life, especially, you know, bad habits, it's not easy to overcome. You know the word habit? H-A-B-I-T. Right? You remove the H, it's still, there's still a bit. Right? You remove H-A, there's still bit. You remove H-A-B, there's still it. And the I, you cannot remove the I. So you have to look to the T. And there's the cross. That's why you need to turn to the cross to appropriate the power of God in your life. You need to turn to God and say, God, in your strength, in your power, I will overcome. I will deal with this root. I will face this emotional baggage. And I will experience your victory in your name. In the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to come before God and say, God, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come upon me. There's a story of an operator. She started first day in a garment factory as a sewing operator. In the first day of work, she walked in and she was led to the sewing machine. And she saw a big sign, you know, in front of the sewing machine. And the big sign said, if your thread, the thread got entangled, call the supervisor. If the thread got entangled, call the supervisor. So she started working, and 2 hours into it, a thread got entangled. But she did not want to call the supervisor because it's her first day of work, and she feared that supervisor would be upset with her. So she tried to fix the problem herself. Tried to entangle the thread. But the more she tried, the worse it becomes. Until she has no choice. She has to call the supervisor. And the supervisor came and he looked at the situation and he asked her, did you try to fix the problem yourself? Do you try to, you know, entangle the thread yourself? And she said, yes. And the supervisor reminded her, the sign, you shall call me. Because you called me earlier, that it will not be so messy that I can fix it. Because I'm the supervisor. The point is this. There are threats in our lives, or there are roots in our lives. There are emotional baggage in our lives that oftentimes we try to fix it ourselves. We try to deal with it in our own human strength. The more we do it, the more we try to fix it in our own human strength, the worse it becomes. And become even more rooted. That's why you and I must call our divine supervisor, our Lord Jesus Christ, for him to come to help us to remove that root. Appropriation. Call on our divine supervisor. And finally, the last word, another quotation before that, your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change, by Jim Rohn. Change by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need that change to take place. And when we turn to our Lord, that's where the power of God will help us to change. Then the fourth word, the last word, is the word advancement. Advancement. Again, in verse 15, see to it. You must see to it. You must perceive. You got to ensure that in your life, the bitter root will not grow in you. You got to see to it that there's no bitter root in you. That you and I, we must be intentional in this area to ensure there's no bitter root. You got to see to it. In other words, it is about moving on. Moving on to what God has for us. It's not about staying at where we are. It's about moving on because God wants us to move on. It's about turning the page, a brand new page altogether. And it's what God can do in your life, in my life. Bring about a brand new page. A new story, a new movie for us. God can do that. That's why the Bible says, see to it. It's about walking in the freedom that Christ wants us to experience. That's why the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God wants us to be free. Because when we have this bitter root in us or root in other forms in us, we are not free. We are not having the freedom. In fact, every day, as I mentioned, it occupies our minds and our hearts. We don't have that freedom. But God wants to experience freedom so we can walk in freedom, walk away from that situation, walk away from the past, walk away from that root, walk away from that emotional baggage, and walk in the presence of God Almighty. Because in His presence there is healing. Presence there is power. In His presence there is power. We got to walk in the presence of God Almighty. Walk in the freedom that the Lord has called us. It is time for us to move on. It is time for us to turn the page. It is time for us to walk in freedom. There are two stories in the Bible that are very, very powerful. Lives that experience God and how God turned their lives around and give that brand new story altogether. Two stories in the Bible. The first, you know, the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. You knew what Joseph had gone through. He was betrayed by his own brothers. He was sold as a slave. If there's one person who has the right to harbor unforgiving and bitterness, it is Joseph. But Joseph did not give in to that root. You know what the Bible says? In Genesis chapter 49, verses 22 and 24, the Bible says, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him. They shot at him with hostility. But his bow remains steady. His strong arms stay limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Oh, the Bible says, bitterness, you know, like archers were attacking him. But thank God that God delivered him. God protected him. And he became a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. Not a bitter vine, but a fruitful vine. What a powerful testimony of the grace of God. He did not allow that root to be rooted in him. He experienced the hand of God. The second person, again in the Old Testament, is the woman by the name of Naomi. You know Naomi? Her husband passed away. Her two sons passed away. And she came to a point she was bitter. In fact, she changed her name from Naomi to Mara. No, Malay word, Mara, angry. M-A-R-A, Mara. It means bitter because she felt that God had forsaken her. The blessing of God was no longer upon her. She was in such a state of despair. Husband passed away. You know, two sons passed away. In fact, she said to her two daughters-in-law, don't follow me. You go your own way. You go your own way. Don't ever follow me. But Ruth, as you know the story, she said, I will follow you. Wherever you go, I will go. And you know the story. Ruth met Boaz and they got married. And to cut the long story short, you read the book of Ruth in the final chapter. There's the genealogy. You know what they say? Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David. And from David came the Messiah, the lineage through, you know, Boaz. No, Naomi can never imagine that her daughter-in-law will be married to such a family, and she became a grandmother, and her life was turned around and changed. No longer Mara, because God turned her life around. God turned her story around. God gave her a new song to sing. A new movie to watch. What a powerful turnaround. It's all because of the mighty hand of God upon her life. They say, whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going through, don't allow it, you know, to become something that hold you, that hurts you, that harm you, and cause your life to be turned upside down. But rather you could rise up in the name of Jesus and say, God, I stand before your presence and I know that you have a new chapter for me. You have a new beginning because you're a God of new beginnings. And as you turn to the Lord, that's where God, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will begin to empower you, begin to change you as you begin to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, as you begin to walk in obedience, as you experience greater breakthrough in your life and in your situation. Let me say this. One of the foundations that's so important for all of us as Christians is to know that we are loved by Abba Father. We are accepted by Abba Father. And no matter what we have gone through, the past doesn't define us because God defines our lives. And then when we come before God and say, God, thank you for your grace. As you all of us, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have been wrong and wounded before. And the flip side is that there are times we are the one who wrong others and also wounded others. But nonetheless, that's the grace of God. That's the forgiveness of God upon us. That's why we can walk in freedom. So tonight, in this first night of this camp, yes, you want to be rooted, but there are roots in you that you need to deal with, that you need to allow God to remove it slowly but surely by the grace of God. So tonight, I want you to come before God. And those of you know, there is that emotional baggage in you, a root that is lingering in you. Not deep, but lingering in you, and you know it. Or others, you know the root has already quite rooted in you. The event that took place years ago, it is still affecting you. It is time for you to move on. It's time for you to face it and come before God and say, God, I come before your throne of grace. I need your touch. I need you afresh and new because I want to move on by your grace. Let us pray.